Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. What you might want to do at this time is turn to a map in the back of your Bible and find on one of those maps the Jordan River. We're reading about, or we're in the middle of a Sunday school lesson about the baptism of Jesus as it's recorded for us in the book of Mark. But before we get to that, we're looking at the geographical area, and our teacher, E.A. Elam, in his Sunday school notes on this, suggested that we consult the Lands of the Bible, written by J.W. McGarvey. He made his trip to these lands back in the 1800s, and the copyright of his book, Lands of the Bible, is 1880. Now, travel to that area was not common in those times, and he went during a time when the developments had not taken place that are now so common over there, and it is an interesting historical narrative. He describes his journey and the geographical features of this land. As we were reading in our last class, he was talking about the source of the Jordan from the springs about Mount Hermon and down through to the Lake of Galilee. And so we're talking about Galilee, and we're going to pick up his reading there and continue following the Jordan River south, so we'll have some understanding of the land where Jesus walked. And so we'll be doing that in just a moment. But till then, I need to remind you first, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now let's turn to that old volume that I had on my shelf about the Lands of the Bible by J.W. McGarvey, and read about the Lake of Galilee and then the Jordan River which flowed from it to the Dead Sea. And McGarvey wrote, "On the plain and hills, the springs and streams, the towns and villages, which are, have been about the shores of this lake, we will speak under the proper headings in the topographical part of this work, adding here only the remark that its shores possess nothing to especially interest the traveler, apart from their historic associations. It could not have been his taste for either the grand or the beautiful which led Jesus to make it a place of so frequent a resort. From a pointed bay in the southeastern extremity of the Lake of Galilee, the Jordan River makes its exit, running first a little north of west for about a mile, when it makes a short curve to the south and fairly starts on its serpentine course toward the Dead Sea. The entire distance from the lake to the sea is only 65 miles, but so crooked is the channel of the river that in traversing this distance it runs 200 miles. It runs in its countless meanderings to every point of the compass, but to make no long bends, and it falls during this part of its course 610 feet. The difference between 682 feet, which is the depression of the Lake of Galilee before the Mediterranean, and the 1,292 feet, which is that of the Dead Sea. The rate of its descent is by no means uniform. According to Condor, this part of the river may be divided in this respect into three sections. From the lake to the Demille Ford, 42 miles, it falls 460 feet, an average of nearly 11 feet to the mile. But in a part of this section, it falls 40 feet to the mile. The second section is one of 13 miles with an average fall of only 4.5 feet to the mile. And the third is one of 10 miles with a fall of 9 feet to the mile. With such a fall, the river would be a torrent, but for its many short bends, and for the many places in which the desert is by a succession of rapids alternating with pools and with level stretches in which the current is slow. From about 8 miles south of the lake, the Jordan runs in a valley within a valley, the inner valley varying from 1/4 mile to 1 mile in length, and lying from 100 to 200 feet below the level of the upper valley and the wider valley. Along this narrow depression, the river winds about from side to side like a coiling serpent, and its immediate banks are everywhere thickly set with small trees and undergrowth. From the Lake of Galilee to the beginning of this depression, the bed and banks of the river are composed chiefly of basalt, but throughout the remainder of its course, it flows over a bed of sandy clay, except at a few points, where the naked rock or beds of the gravel are exposed. At these places are fixed the fords and the ferries. Of the latter, there are at present only two at which ferry boats are kept, the Damay ferry, which is mentioned above, and the one that is opposite Jericho. Fords are much more numerous, considered, obtained the names from more than 40, and among them is called the Arba, which he identifies with the Beth Arba of John chapter 1 and verse 28. Of these we will speak more particularly in the second part. The Jordan has only 4 perennial tributaries. Of these, 2 enter it from the west and 2 from the east. The former two, the more northern, is the Jeud, which had its source in the valley of Jezreel, and flows thence to the realms of Bethshean, and thence unto Jordan. The more northern is the Pharah, whose source is on the northern slope of the Mount Ebal, whose current supplies the much water of Enon near to Salem, and which enters Jordan at a short distance south of the Damay ferry. The latter is the smaller of the two, and the other two, the more northern, are by far the largest of the 4. It is the Yarmuk, which its mouth is about 6 miles south of the Lake of Galilee. It is nearly as large as the Jordan where they unite. The other is the Wadi Zirka, or the river Jabbok, as we know it from the scriptures, which empties into the Jordan 1/2 mile above the Damay ferry. Besides these perennial streams, there are several winter streams on the west and a still larger number on the east, which contribute to the swelling of the river during the winter and spring, but whose diminished waters in the dry season are absorbed in the thirsty plain. The volume of water which flows in the Jordan may be estimated by the size of the Damay ferry, below which it is not materially increased by tributaries. Here the author found it by accurate measurement. In April of 1879, 130 feet wide from the water's edge to the water's edge, 8 feet deep in the channel near the eastern bank, with a gradual slope to that point from the western, and flowing in the channel at a rate of about 5 miles an hour. On the 27th of February, 1871, Captain Warren found it at the same place, quite 60 yards in width and running like a mill race, while many branches from the overflow of the river were meandering through this inner valley. When seen by President Bartlett in March of 1874, not far above its mouth, the writer describes it as follows. The river was very high. We were fortunate enough to see it in the state in which it is described in Joshua, overflowing all its banks, that is, the whole line of its banks, The turbid stream rushed along like a mill race, and though it had fallen from the greatest height, the proper banks of the stream were invisible and indicated only by lines of oleanders and other shrubs and trees. Dr. Robinson, though he made no measurements himself, quotes the statement of several other writers as follows. At the ford near Bisane, on the 12th of March, Irby and Mangles found the breadth to be 140 feet by measure. The stream was swift and reached above the bellies of the horses. When Burkhart passed there in July, it was about 3 feet deep. On the return of the former travelers 12 days later, on March 25th, they found the river at a lower ford extremely rapid and were obliged to swim their horses. On the 29th of January in the same year, as Mr. Banks crossed at or near the same lower ford, the stream is described as flowing rapidly over a bed of pebbles, but is easily fordable for the horses. The upper valley of the Jordan varies greatly in width, and is divisible, with reference to width, into 6 sections. The first extending below the lake, 13 miles, is about 4.5 miles wide. The second, extending 12 miles further, is 8 miles wide. The third contracts to 2 or 3 miles on the east with a high tableland, not a valley, on the west. It extends 12 miles. The fourth, 10 miles long, is 8 miles wide. The three on the west side of the river and 5 on the east. The fifth, about the same length, is more than 10 miles wide, while the sixth and last, extending from a short distance above Jericho to the Dead Sea, is 8 miles long and 14 wide, the Jordan running through the middle. If we add these, the basin filled by the Lake of Galilee, 12.5 miles long, and the plain of Hule, 26.5 miles long, we have in 8 sections the entire valley of the Jordan, and finding it 104 miles in length, with an average width of about 7 miles. But the singular depression of which this valley forms a part extends much further toward the south. It includes the basin of the Dead Sea, 45 miles long, and also the sandy valley running south from this to the head of the Gulf of Aqaba, 100 miles further. Throughout this entire distance of 250 miles, from Dan to the Gulf of Aqaba, there is a great rent in the earth's crust, the walls standing from 4 to 14 miles apart, and the sunken space between occupied by the Jordan Valley, the Dead Sea, and the valley south of the Dead Sea, called the Araba. The portion of which extends from the Lake of Galilee to the Dead Sea is called by the Arabs the Depression, showing that its low level has not escaped the notice of these uneducated people. In the Bible, it is called the Plain, or the Plain of the Wilderness. Of the ruins found in the valley, its streams of water, and its historical localities, we will speak under the proper section headings. Well, that's an example of what you'll get when you read McGarvey's Lands of the Bible. And when you read these things and look at the map and then use your imagination and associate it with geographical features that we are familiar with, then it really brings the old terrain that Jesus walked into perspective. And we can understand it better that way. I'll probably read more from Lands of the Bible later on as we continue with this study of the life of Christ. We're studying the baptism of Jesus, and we're going to be looking at more and more about his life as we go. You may want to mark in your Bible Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, and follow along with us in this study. Now, when you can, visit us at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. There we honor God by showing honor and respect for God's word. And thus the very preaching is part of our worship.